Good morning. We're going to sing, Oh Let the Son of God Enfold Me today. Beautiful hymn. We'll stand back a bit, hey? Thank you. Thanks, Chad. Meredith.
Our call to worship this morning is a sung one, which I'm going to invite you to stand to sing and join in with some enthusiasm. Come all you people, come and praise your Maker, come now and worship the Lord. And if you've forgotten the Shona African pronunciation, it's really easy. It's just Uya Imose Tinamoata Moire Uya Imose Zvino. How easy could it be? Let's join and sing with some enthusiasm. Excellent. Well done. A lovely call to worship and a welcome, a warm welcome to everyone to this time of worship. We're all a welcome, no matter where we've come from, what our experience has been, where our feelings are here in this place, all are welcome as part of God's family. We recognize that where we gather is land of the traditional owners of this place, the Gurnai Kurnai people. We recognise their elders and commit ourselves to that Christian ministry of reconciliation. Let's join in prayer. lover of all, God of immensity, mystery that's beyond us, we're aware of our insignificance in time and space, but also aware of your faith in us. So we come seeking to know your presence with us. You are Lord of the galaxies, God of all creation. We come to you with the modesty of common clay, and yet with the confidence of the much loved, we want to be closer to you. Lord of awesome beauties, God of wondrous creativity, knowing still that our nature is a little flawed, but that you make all things new, we embrace you. God of surprising grace, we're sure that our words are inadequate, and yet that we are somehow the targets of your good news. Bless us by your Spirit as we reflect and pray and sing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And a more traditional hymn, 107, sing praise and thanksgiving, let all creatures living. Thank goodness, God, that you have searched and known us, that you understand us and accept us, love and forgive us. Deal with us with a grace and wisdom that surpasses our understanding, and gather us up into the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Free us from the temptations of apathy and heal us, mind and spirit. And restore and renew the image of yourself within us, and transfigure our thoughts, our feelings, our words and deeds, and make us into your newness. Loving God, in our human condition, you know who we are and what we are like. You know our troubles with ourselves and with each other and with you, and we open ourselves to you. Lord God, you are close to the brokenhearted, and you save those with a crushed spirit. You stand with those in need, so rescue us in your mercy. O Lord, you redeem the life of your people. All our thanks to you in Christ. Amen. a slightly modern translation of Psalm 34, with which we continue in prayer, but it's not just a normal responsive reading, is it? If you look there, it's the left and right sides of the church. So, left and right, that's left. We all got that? That's this left, that side, and the window side. I should have put that up instead. So, beginning over here, I bless God every chance I get.
My lungs expand with his praise.
I live and breathe God. If things aren't going well, hear this and be happy.
Join me in spreading the news. Together, let's get the word out.
God met me more than halfway.
He freed me from my anxious fears.
Look at him. Give him your warmest smile. When I was desperate, I called out, and God got me out of a tight spot.
God's angels set a circle of protection around us while we pray.
Open your mouth and taste. Open your eyes and see.
How good God is. Blessed are you who run to him.
Let's join together in song again. Let's sing, God sends us his Spirit to befriend and help us. A few words of introduction to the first reading. The first reading today is the Gospel from Mark. This is actually, if you're reading through Mark as a book, this is the last thing that happens before Palm Sunday. So Jesus and his disciples are on the road. So this is a journey story. And in the way that Mark is structured, various things happen to Jesus and things are clarified about his purpose and destiny and what might follow. And here we've got to almost Jerusalem, almost the culmination of the story. So you'd expect that what happens here might some way be a way of introducing what happens next, or a culmination of everything that's happened before. So look out for those things as we listen to the story of the blind man in Jericho. Thanks, Lester.
Our first reading comes from Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, and starting at verse 46. They came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. Our second reading comes from Job chapter 42.
Hang on. We have Job a little later. Sorry.
We do. Okay.
We'll sing a song first. So I'll invite you back in a minute.
Thank you.
Or two. So a little unusually, we do have some different things happening. In the story, Jesus sees a need. So we're going to remember the blind man who sat by the side of the road, and we'll sing the hymns 579, "The Blind Man Sat by the Road and He Cried." So at the end of Mark's Gospel and just before Easter, before the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, there's the healing of a man who's blind. Someone who doesn't see gains his sight. And the sight is probably more important metaphorically in terms of understanding who Jesus is and what is happening than the physical seeing. Interesting. Now, from one form of suffering to a more general one, and the answer in an Old Testament book to the suffering of Job. Now, I'm not going to deal very much with this in the reflection, but I think it's worth noting that in this Old Testament reflection on suffering and how we deal with that, there's been a whole range of different approaches, different theological understandings of God and suffering of people in our world. And many answers are given, and then Job asks God why, and God in this reflection answers, who are you to ask? And then, so it's not just left up in the air, we've got this neat ending where Job is blessed so much more than he with what he had before. And if that's all of the story of how God deals with suffering, then the New Testament wouldn't have been necessary. And what happens with Jesus at this point in the gospel would not have been happening either. So let's listen to that reading from Job before we get to the reflections and listen to the choir after.
Then Job answered the Lord, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I do not understand, things too wonderful for me which I do not know. Hear and I will speak. I will question you and you declare to me, I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he had prayed for his friends. And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then there came to him all his brothers and sisters and all who had known him before. And they ate bread with him at his house. They showed him sympathy and comforted him for all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. And each of them gave him a piece of money and a gold ring. The Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than the beginning. And this is the word of the Lord.
So today we have two contrasting stories of suffering. And there's also a story of suffering just in the wings. But before we have a go at unravelling these, a poem about blindness to begin with. This is by Padraig O'Torma, who is a poet and theologian from Northern Ireland. Remember that this has passed before, and there will be more days of plenty eventually. Pay attention to your feelings. Keep those feelings sharp. Try to hold yourself together and pull yourself apart. Keep your eyes on the prize that you might never gain. Don't ignore whatever pain is blooming, like a flower that you never planted. Occupy your hands with kindness. Remember you can see, even though this blindness is remarkable. Mark the places that you're feeling. Mark the spaces where you're needing held. Mark the evenings that are dark, and mark the afternoon of coping. Mark the morning that you waken, finding grieving has been taken to a different part of heartland. Remember what has passed before. Job's suffering has been legendary. Job was scrupulously faithful and enduring. But in the story from the New Testament, the beggar there cries out and won't stop even when he's told to. He's disruptive and disobedient. This poor man won't even do what Jesus tells him to. Fascinating to reflect on. How does this happen and where does it fit in? So it's spring in Jericho. Jericho, you might know, is one of the oldest city sites in the world. The palm trees there are rustling in the slight breeze. The clear waters of the springs are rippling through the aqueducts. The site is on the edge of the river flats of the lower Jordan River. We're not far away from the Dead Sea. It's close to the lowest place on earth. And mostly it's hot. And a youngish rabbi and his disciples have set out on a fateful journey to Jerusalem. And as they leave the city of Jericho, a blind beggar cries out to them. Some tell him to stop whinging and shut up. Bartimaeus was a nobody. His name is just son of Timaeus. Now, if Timaeus sounds vaguely familiar, it might be from your classical philosophical education. Timaeus is the title of Plato's most famous dialogue. In Timaeus, Plato contrasts seeing the mere physical world while being blind to eternal truths. The educated of Mark's readership knew what he was up to. And so just outside Jericho, remember, this was the first place crossed into in the promised land when the Hebrews entered after the Exodus. Here at this place, Bartimaeus is begging Jesus, "Rabbi, I want to see." Now he's looking for the fulfillment of promise, for an exodus from his suffering. He flags a deeper seeing, and then he follows on to Jerusalem too, with Palm Sunday just a few verses ahead. So deeper meaning is echoing all through this story. Let's think about who's involved here for a moment and what's at stake. So in Jesus' day, anyone who was disabled or not quite whole in some way was seen generally in society and seen in quite a strict way as being unproductive, a burden to their peers, and thought of as cursed by God. Disabled people couldn't mix with normal society. There were even religious laws that kept them out of the temple. For a blind beggar, there was nothing but begging, an ongoing suffering. It was physical and social and psychological. Bartimaeus was dehumanized and disempowered. That's just the world as it was. With our medical understanding and with our hindsight, we can see people like this were outcast through no fault of their own, and they had to suffer disability with no help and were cut off from their society. We like to think that we know and do better in our enlightened times, but I'm sure we still categorise people and stigmatise those we think of as not so well off or of a different category to us. Bartimaeus was the kind of person you wouldn't want disturbing your peace. "Tell him to be quiet, for God's sake," the crowd were saying. "We don't want him distracting Jesus. He's important." So it might be a surprise to us that Bartimaeus, this very last person that we would expect anything from, is the one at the end of the story of Jesus' ministry who shows great faith and who sees Jesus clearly. His faith is in contrast to that of the disciples, who were still in many ways blind to Jesus. But the physically blind Bartimaeus could, in a sense, see the truth about who Jesus was. And he calls out, "Son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me." And he shares in this miracle of enlightenment. And the writer gives a nod and a wink to a blind man, and probably Plato as well. Then there's an echo in the story of the journey to the promised land, with Jesus now setting off for Jerusalem. And just before this, James and John had asked for outrageous personal favours from Jesus. That is some contrast. Makes me wonder, what would we ask Jesus for? Perhaps we'd ask for better insight, that we might see more clearly the path Jesus takes through the maze of this complex and often very confusing time. Might ask for clearer insight on when to speak and when to stay silent on issues. When to stubbornly dig in your heels, when to compromise. How do we best follow Jesus in our society today? What do we do to follow in the cause of the needs in our world? We all know there are many who are crying out for help. But it's a faith question first. This is the last of the healing miracles in Mark's Gospel. Bartimaeus stands at the end of this aspect of Jesus' ministry and shows that it's those who exercise their faith in Jesus who see the truth and who find the reality of the promised kingdom. Go, your faith has made you well, he says. It's not a yes, I'll heal you, or God will help you, my son, no. The end of his suffering comes as the result of two things. One, his crying out. And two, his faith. The two are not opposites. They may be more closely related than Job, his friends, or even than we like to think. Crying out and being honest about our need and asking for help. You see, when biblical writers speak about the nature of faith, there's most often a story, the example of a particular person of faith. Maybe a person like Job, or an example, better, like Bartimaeus. Faith is something that's exercised as we live and as we trust. It happens as the story unfolds, and sometimes we don't even see the faith we have until we've looked back with some hindsight. Our faith is often given the most exercise when we see a need and we try to respond. The one thing we could all agree on, I think, is we'd love to see an end to suffering. The end of Job's suffering sounds just a little contrived to our ears, about as much as the heavenly court did at the beginning. Job has endured. But the gloss of reward at the end doesn't add much to helping people in their suffering. Jesus does not endorse the answer of Job. In Bartimaeus' story, it encourages those who want to see an end to suffering to name it, to express dissatisfaction with it, and to ask for an end to it. Perhaps our prayer might be, may our faith be simple, like that of Bartimaeus. Faith to name what's wrong, to speak up, to cry out about what dehumanizes and disempowers, and to ask for an end to that. And then perhaps we, who don't often see what we should, might have some clearer sight and find ways to respond with justice and with compassion to the cries that we still hear around us. And may our faith continue to grow and help us to know what we really need and to see with the eyes of faith. Amen. So there might yet be some more answers. The hymn 453, we limit not the truth of God to our poor reach of mind. has some notices for us. Thanks, John.
Thanks, Ian. Good morning. Just a few things to draw your attention to. Of course, today is Messy Church, and those that attend are going to experience a storm. So look forward to that, and we hope that lots of young people will come along and share in the activity. The normal things are there listed for the coming week. Trains in the shed, a choir, a craft and play group. And then there's a plea from the mission table for all the good cooks in our congregation. There's still a few of them there. The donations of goodies are very popular. There's also, if you've forgotten about car boot sale, the results are there, nice listed. A very successful day, both for fellowship and financially. Coming up, not on your notice sheet yet, but on November the 8th, there's a visit from the Aboriginal Christian Convest as part of the recreation group. It's been an initiative of the Synod. And that starts at 10:30 with morning tea and sharing. So that's something to put on your calendar. I'd also like to make a plug on the property area, because we've still got some chairs. There's six chairs there, quite good chairs. If somebody wants a good upholstered chair, I don't want to throw them out. It doesn't seem like the Vinnies and those seem to want, they want a whole lot. They want chairs with a table. Where's the table? Well, no table, they're just chairs. So there's six there, still begging. And there's a whole lot of the plastic ones that you use as perhaps a barbecue or whatever, and you can stack them up. They're plastic. But we don't need as many as what's there. We want to do some planning for storage at the back. Instead of having too many chairs lying around, we want them to be better stored. So they're there going begging. Otherwise, the plastic ones will go to the tip. I believe we can recycle them. And also, you may notice there's a bit of work going on around the church. A bit of painting to come, but we've done it. The plastering's been done, and the windows around the outside of the chapel. A lot of work's been done there. That's all been rendered, been a new coat, because what was there was letting moisture through. Now it's been done with a hard render. How they do that sort of outside boards now. They don't paint, just do what they did before. The company changed their tune of what was the recommendation. And now they find it needs to be a cement type or a special render. I'm not sure it's cement, but it was made in Germany, the particular material that's used. And so you look at it and see it's a bit spruced up. Yes, it definitely is spruced up. So, thank you.
So I can let you know that the storm experience is a storm on a lake, and it'll be part two of the fishing sort of stories, and there might be an interesting outcome. And then also, if you're planning to use the chairs, the plastic chairs for a barbecue, they're for sitting on, not for barbecue fuel, please. Thank you. So, let's join together in prayer. Let us pray. God, who helps us see and calls us to respond, We recognise, but often only slowly, that there is much need, even on the sides of the roads we travel. We acknowledge the suffering of Indigenous people, the poverty in our neighbourhoods, and the widespread hopelessness among the unemployed. And that here it happens in our own backyard and around the globe as well. We turn to you in prayer as we commit ourselves to journeying together in looking for better solutions and ongoing healing and true reconciliation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who've had to leave home, family, and safety, for those who are sick, the dying, the imprisoned, those who are lost and suffering. We ask for your protection, for compassionate decisions to help. And then, as we take a moment's silence, we pray for these and for our own responses. God, loving and wise, you reveal your care and your compassion to us through the life and words and deeds of Jesus. Give us then the gift of your compassion, so that all people may enjoy your promise of peace. We pray through Christ our Lord. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Particularly our hearts ache for the people of Palestine and Myanmar and Sudan and the other flashpoints in the Middle East. We pray for those who are suffering from hatred or oppression or violence. Strengthen and empower them through the love of Jesus, who suffered these too. And we pray for all who face challenges and tough choices, and even for ourselves. Out of the habits of the past and the comfort of the familiar, strengthen us to deal with challenges and new things, and make us ready to embrace our future as we go on to be a part of your giving to others. Loving God, we've named and thought of many who need your comfort, your healing presence, your guiding spirit. And we pray now for those who are closest to our hearts and in need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Hear our prayers and help us see and respond to the cries that we hear. We thank you that you do hear our prayers through Jesus, who taught us to pray together, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen." Let's continue to respond to God's goodness as we mark our giving, some with tangible gifts, others electronically, others in many different ways. We respond to God's goodness.
Loving God, we recognise again that you bless and enrich our lives in so many ways. Help us to see these more and more. We pray that these signs of our offering and all our lives will show something of our commitment to share with others in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We might remain standing to sing. Over a thousand tongues to sing. May the grace and peace of Christ be yours wherever you need new insight. May the bright, strong love of God be yours wherever darkness is in your sight. May the friendship of the Spirit be yours whenever you need strength or comfort today and always. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.